You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we have the opportunity to check in with friends in the Texas District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and hear how things are going following the recent flooding. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul by visiting csp.edu. Joining us today, Julie Tucker, Emergency Management Director for the Texas District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Julie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And the Reverend Dan Miller, he's pastor of Hosanna Lutheran Church in Kerrville, Texas. Pastor Miller, thank you for being our guest today.
My pleasure.
Pastor, let's start with your story and the community of Kerrville and Hosanna Lutheran Church. Prior to the flooding, how would you describe the community of Kerrville and the surrounding neighborhoods?
Kerrville is one of the most desirable places for retirement. It's in the Texas Hill Country, a beautiful part of Texas. We have several rivers. The downside of Kerrville is that it's right in the middle of the most volatile flooding place in the entire country. There are more flood-related deaths in the Hill Country of Texas than anywhere else in the United States. But thankfully, that hardly ever happens. When it does happen, it's catastrophic. The rest of the time, it's just a beautiful place. Lots of people come here to retire. It gets warm in the summertime. It's Texas. But in the fall and the winter, it's just really beautiful. Lots of people come here to retire.
Tell us a little bit more about what makes the Texas Hill Country such a wonderful place. I know it's been in the news so much now, and I am just not familiar with it, not being from Texas or anywhere surrounding Texas. What is it about that Hill Country that draws so many people there?
It's different from any other place that I've seen in the country. We have a lot of oak trees, and the oak trees are very impressive to us, but in terms of big trees, they're not all that big, like the trees in St. Louis or trees in California. It's just it's a friendly place. It's a welcoming place. People are very nice. It's common for people to greet you as you pass them on the street, common for people to wave from their cars. It just feels good. I don't know exactly how to put it into words, but it just feels good. And I need to clarify, I'm probably not the best person to talk about Kirk. I'm the interim pastor. I've been here 2 years, and I am actually going to be gone the last day of August. We're installing a new pastor in Hosanna. So I've been able to enjoy it for the short time, but the Hill Country is very precious, just beautiful.
Yes, that's absolutely what it sounded like, what it's been sounding like from everyone that's been describing it. Tell us more about your congregation, Hosanna Lutheran Church in Kerrville.
Hosanna is probably typical of what I would say describes mid-range congregations in the LCMS. We have average attendance of about 180, a membership of about 350. Currently in the LCMS, more than half of our churches have average attendance of less than 50. So we're bigger than that. But then we have some really big churches. Julie's husband's pastor at Concordia in San Antonio, and that's a really, really big church. And we have very few churches like Concordia. We have a lot of small churches, and we have a fair number of churches like Hosanna. Hosanna started out of conflict. There used to be an LCMS church in Kerrville named Holy Cross, and some things happened there, leadership related. And so Hosanna split. Holy Cross is no longer an LCMS congregation. And Hosanna is a very healthy congregation. I tease my people because every worship service begins with a time of greeting. I tease them because they're in the lobby of the church visiting, and then we start worship, and then they visit some more. But that's one of the precious things about Hosanna. The people are, I also tease them. I tell them they greet each other so warmly that sometimes I suspect they're not really Lutheran. They're very, very warm, very welcoming. People that visit regularly comment on how warmly they were welcomed to Hosanna. We have about 45% of our members are past the age of retirement. Some of them are still very active. Some of them are less active. We just sent 11 of our young people to the National Youth Gathering, along with four shepherds. They had a great time at the National Youth Gathering. Our youth worker has three areas of interest. She calls them littles, middles, and high school. And, so lots of wonderful things going on at Hosanna. And one of its strengths is, it's our genuinely caring congregation.
Well, Hosanna sounds like a lovely congregation, and Kerrville certainly is a beautiful community. I had the opportunity to visit about 20 years ago, and I agree, it is just a beautiful place to visit, and I'm sure to retire as well. Now, the flooding, we certainly have seen through many news outlets that it was pretty devastating flooding. How would you describe how this flood might have been different than other floods that happened? You mentioned that there are many drownings and flooding that have happened in this part of the country. But would you say this flood was different than others?
This flood is being described as a once-in-1,000-year flood. Mm-hmm. So it was, the Guadalupe River, I can't remember the exact numbers, but the Guadalupe River went up something like, I can't remember if it's 35 or 39 feet. It's mind-boggling to think of how the Guadalupe River changed and changed so very rapidly. Yesterday, I saw some photographs of cars parked about 20 feet off the ground in trees. They're just sitting in a tree. So this flood, unprecedented, a once-in-1,000-year flood. And to better understand this flood, the flood was about 500 yards wide and about 100 miles long. So in some places, flood spread in St. Louis. In St. Louis, there will be flooding. Sometimes the water gets close to the arch because it spreads very wide. The flood was concentrated. So all this massive energy of water was contained within 500 yards from shore to shore. And it was just this massive freight train barreling down the riverbed. And everything within those 500 yards is gone. But just outside of those 500 yards, it's like nothing ever happened. When the main bridge in downtown Kerrville goes over the Guadalupe River, it's at least 50 feet above the riverbed normally. And one of the women that survived went under the bridge during the flood, only about 5 feet below the bottom of the bridge. She was waving her arms. She was screaming, but it was the middle of the night. Even if somebody would have heard her or somebody would have thrown her a lifeline, I think her arms would have been ripped off by the sheer force of the water at that point. So it came up very quickly, and then it went down very quickly. That woman was carried 20 miles downriver, managed to catch a tree. The force of the water was so severe that all of her clothes were ripped off. That happened to most of the victims. Most of the bodies that have been found have been naked. She's sitting in a tree way up high because now the water has receded and waiting for somebody to rescue her. She couldn't climb down. Finally, a rescue boat came by. And, she was so exhausted, she basically face-planted in the boat. She just let her go. And it was a rubber raft. So thankfully, when she, crashed into the bottom, it didn't hurt her too bad. Just unbelievable. A couple that was getting ready to evacuate their house, the husband said to his wife, "Do you hear that?" And she said, "No, I don't hear anything." "No, there's some, I hear children." And the wife said, "No, that's just one of the grandkids' toys." Said, "No, I hear something." And he opened the back door of his house, water up above his waist. And in his backyard, two little girls were in a tree and two separate trees. He managed to get to the closest tree in spite of the force of the flood. It took everything he had. Rescued the first girl, got back to the shallower part of the water, and was totally exhausted. One of his neighbors walked up and he said, "There's still a girl out there." And, you know, the neighbor was able to get the second girl. There were three little girls on a mattress and they got flipped off the mattress. Two of the little girls wound up in his backyard in a tree, and the other little girl, her body was found later. It was an unprecedented flood. There was a flood in 1987, and a school bus from one of the camps was swept away. 10 children died in that flood, you know, terrible, terrible flood, but nothing compared to this flood.
Yeah, we've heard numerous stories of heroic actions of people saving, like just similar to the stories that you've been telling us, and tragic stories of people who just didn't really have any chance. So I'm sure we'll continue to hear those stories as people share their experiences. What is the current situation? What does the situation currently look like in that area of Texas?
And Julie can answer that better than I can. The situation, things are starting to settle down. Most of what's happening now, the last I heard, there are still two bodies missing, which is pretty amazing because in 1987, they never found those 10 kids. So they're better at finding bodies now than they were back in 87. So search and rescue is pretty much over with. Now there's these huge trucks in the city picking up brush. Well, when you drive across that bridge that I was talking about a moment ago, looking left, looking right, now used to be this beautifully wooded park next to the river. Now it's going to be real barren as they take away all, and they got to take all the trees are still alive, but they got pushed over so badly that they're not going to survive. So it's going to look a lot different. Yeah, it's just, you know, so, and people are recovering. My personal opinion is that the emotional recovery is going to take a whole lot longer than the physical recovery. In terms of property loss, there was significant property loss, but again, it's contained within that 500-yard barrier, if you will. So it's not widespread, but for those people, it's severe. It's very bad. But I think personally that you know, we'll be able to recover physically a whole lot faster than emotionally. And that emotional stuff's not going to start happening until, you know, 2-3 months from now, maybe a little bit longer than that. The way that God works, the new pastor for Hosanna, he was called and he accepted the call before the flood. He is an army reservist. He's a captain in the Army Reserves, and the congregation that he's leaving in McKinney, very sad that he's leaving. They honestly expected him to stay there until he retired. They were surprised that he accepted the call. Then the flood happened, and one of his members said, "Now I understand. You're the perfect person to be there." You know, so he's going to bring a lot of experience, and he has been in contact with Hosanna, and, you know, one of the things that he wrote, it's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. People are going to start asking questions that they have ignored for a long time, and those are going to include questions about God. I want to be there to answer them. I want Hosanna to be there to answer them. No, just a wonderful, wonderful spirit in him.
We're talking with the Reverend Dan Miller, interim pastor at Hosanna Lutheran Church in Kerrville, Texas, about the recent flooding. We'll check in more with Julie Tucker, Emergency Management Director, in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Who am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're checking in with friends in the Texas District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, following up recent floods in the Texas District. Our guest today, Julie Tucker, Emergency Management Director for the Texas District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and the Reverend Dan Miller. He serves as interim pastor at Hosanna Lutheran Church in Kerrville, Texas. Julie, tell us a little bit more about your role as Emergency Management Director for the Texas District.
Sure, thank you. It's a beautiful position to hold. I'm sorry I have that position, but it's needed. Truly, my role is to come alongside our communities and congregations to support their needs, with my needs, and just provide guidance on what it would look like for recovery, be it immediate, short-term, or long-term recovery.
How has the disaster response in the Texas District been responding to the flooding?
I think a lot of people are picturing our flooding, certainly with the river flood, what we call the Mobile River, like Pastor was talking about, 100 miles long, 500 yards wide, but we have major flooding that took place in other communities, in Leander, Maynard, San Angelo, so our response has been more widespread, so it's the same look for all of our responses is identify our communities where flooding has taken place, reach out to pastors, find out ways that we can support them and their needs, or even give them guidance. Some pastors, this may be the first time they're experiencing something devastating in their own community, and so what that looks like and what the long-term will look like for that is kind of our first step. For the district right now, we took a step back from this disaster for a while because it really was a search and rescue, and then it turned from search and rescue to search and recovery. So it wasn't really a place for a lot of volunteers to be at unless it was something they were specifically trained to do. And so we paused our volunteers from going in at this point. You know, there was a meeting just recently for Kirk County, and the long-term recovery is what's really going to be taking place in the near future. So they're setting up donation centers and recovery stations and long-term recovery groups, which are usually kind of organically grown nonprofit organizations working in that community who kind of rough up and take on the long-term care for the community. And that looks like if you have a house that's flooded, you go to a long-term recovery group. And I think a lot of people think FEMA's going to cover their whole house or going to be able to cover things for their house or Salvation Army or Red Cross. Our recovery group comes alongside these agencies and supports families for a long term. So if you have case management working, basically they reach out to other nonprofits, like the district is usually involved with this, where we have funding that has been donated to us, and they say, we have a family, a six, our house was destroyed. They give a whole rundown of what it looks like, and this is what's needed. Can you help us with this? And so it's nice to work through that structure because you know you're not duplicating services, and you're really giving to people who are in need and reaching the needs of the people within those communities.
Tell us about how the churches in Texas have been responding and helping to people who really need it.
Depends on the location. Pastor just shared with you what they've been doing. I know they initially started off with making meals and distributing meals. They are also setting up for long-term in the same way. They've hired someone to kind of handle this situation specifically, and I'm going to assume keep in place for future disasters. It could be financially. Maybe they're reaching out to community entities that are needing support financially. They'll reach out to their church community, church and families, their professional church workers, people in their community, and see what kind of support they need there. We've got teams in Leander and Maynard that are
mucking out homes, cleaning out homes. You know, basically that means taking out the sheetrock, throwing the trash away, getting it dried out, and getting them staged to start rebuilding. So it really depends on the location and the pastors and their community, what they're going to be doing. But it varies from different floods and different locations. Maynard County has a lot of, and actually Kerr County too, pastor needs some stuff. We've got a lot of ranches where all their fencing has been torn down. So a lot of those are going to be working on getting their fences back up to protect their cattle and stuff like that.
Julie, what are some ways that listeners can support the work that's happening in the LCMS and in the Texas District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in terms of disaster response?
For this particular one, they're really just setting up. So it, you know, I think a lot of people want to rush right in and do something because we all want to. We see catastrophic events like this take place and our hearts are there and we want to go and do whatever we can do. In this particular scenario, especially on the Guadalupe River, it was professionals that need to be in there. And as Pastor alluded to, they are just now leaving the area. I think one of the life groups just pulled out of there from search and recovery. But moving forward, there are groups that are going to be setting up that are taking volunteers. There are definitely finances are always the most important thing for any disaster that happens. Volunteers are great and can do a lot. And if there's a rebuilding process, it's very helpful. I think too, for most people, for this particular event, could be very different. I think our communities and our people are used to responding to a tornado or to a hurricane where it's just more widespread and more things are needed. And I think our communities are being overwhelmed with stuff that they couldn't use. And so the response is going to look different here because it's not the same kind of disaster. And we have more businesses that were destroyed or camps that were destroyed and, you know, fewer homes than what we typically see in a mass destruction flooding like we have currently going on. In the other areas like San Angelo and Maynard, again, resources are always the best thing, either through one of the local congregations as pastor has. They're doing great, great work in their community through the Texas District. They can do stuff. The Senate has websites set up. So funding is always the first priority. I think moving forward, as we look at how things are kind of moving differently and they're starting to set up, it takes a long time to establish things in the community. We can't just send a truckload of sheetrock to a community until that community has figured out a place. Well, where can we store that sheetrock? And do we have forklifts that can do it? And do we have someone to manage the warehouse? So some of that just takes time. But is that progressive? I would say within a week or two, we should see more stand-up operations where volunteers are going to be taken in and help with recovery. I know Rural itself is planning on one of their big retreat centers to be housing volunteers. So that will be something to be watching for. Finding it sometimes can be hard. I will say I will be posting it on my personal Facebook page, but the district also usually takes whatever I post and posts it out as well. So there'll be stuff probably on the district website that they can look at. I'm sure Pastor's website at Hosanna will have ways that people can volunteer, languages for how they can volunteer. But again, that's still evolving and being set up. It's not set in stone yet.
And we'll share those links to the Texas District and Santa Lutheran in the show notes so people can bookmark those and make sure to be checking back for different ways to be supporting the relief effort, whether financial right now or volunteers down the road. Pastor Miller, how has this flood affected the members of Hosanna Lutheran Church?
The actual members we've been spared. None of our members had significant property loss except for one couple. And their property loss is shared. One of our couples lives in a condo, a four-story condo. They parked their cars in the basement, and the basement was flooded. The cars that, you know, they got out are fine, but the cars that were left, they turned into pinballs and just bounced off of each other. The elevator in that building is destroyed, and it's going to cost about $260,000 to replace that elevator. And a number of the people that live in that building are 80 years old or older. So that's the most severe property damage that our congregation has experienced. Emotional damage has all been, you know, thank God we didn't lose none of our members lost their lives, but one of our 8-year-old girls lost her best friend, and one of our teenagers lost his soccer coach. So relational, emotional damage. You know, they know people who have lost loved ones. But gratefully, our congregation, you know, has been spared direct loss. But there, you know, people, just this morning, the sound guy showed me a photo that somebody had 3 little girls with Mystic Camp t-shirts running to Jesus, one of them jumping in his arms. You know, the heartache is all across the congregation.
In what ways, Pastor, have you and others had the opportunity to bring the hope and love of Christ to those experiencing great grief right now?
It's one of the wonderful things. Here's a measure of how Hosanna works. Almost immediately, Hosanna decided that we needed somebody to run point for us. And so we created a part-time position, blood relief coordinator, a lady that has some experience working in this. She was connected to a ministry in Florida for a while. So she has ministry experience. She has coordination experience. So we employed her part-time so that she can work with Julie. Julie is coaching her, and she can be our lead. She can connect with the community, with the other churches in town. She has already visited with the other churches in town on 2 occasions. And, you know, to help us describe her task this way: do the right thing at the right time, the right way, in the right place. You know, Julie spoke about when things like this happen, everybody wants to do something right now. And that's a wonderful response. Praise God for human compassion. And we've seen it from so many places. But it's got to be the right thing, the right way, the right place, the right time. And the lady's name is Hope. And Hope is going to help us with that. And there's been so much. A church in Linville, North Carolina, they were devastated after Hurricane Helene. And they're anticipating that it's going to take 3 more years for them to fully recover. They have reached out to us. And it's a wonderful little congregation, smaller than Hosanna. But, you know, they've prayed with us. They've shared messages with us. They sent us a check for $10,000. And, you know, the response that has come from people is just amazing. And Hosanna is humble, and Hosanna is encouraged to know that, you know, the church is bigger than we are, than just this one congregation is. And Lutheran Church Charities has come. We've had comfort dogs just trying to be there for people. Hope has started meeting. Yesterday she met with, and we're trying to work with people through connections. One of our members told us about her hairdresser who lived in a mobile home, and the mobile home's gone. And so yesterday that member and that hairdresser came to church to talk to Hope and 3 other members of the congregation about how we can help her directly. Another member talked about a neighbor who also lost everything. And yesterday we met, our relief committee met with that member to see how we can put money in her hands and what we can do specifically to help her. So we're going to try and do things that way. We're going to try and work through connections so that we can protect ourselves from scams and so that, you know, we can do the right thing at the right time in the right place the right way.
Pastor Miller, what's the website for Hosanna Lutheran Church in Kerrville?
HosannaKerrville.org. Thank you for asking. There's a link on the homepage for people that would like to contribute. Julie touched on this. Right now, we're being told not to send stuff. Even food. There's too much food. There's too much bottled water. There's bottled water stacked up on the side of the road in some places. You know, right now we're being told, wait, don't send stuff until, you know, until you know you're supposed to send it. But You know, money always works, always helps.
You can also find more information at txlcms.org. You can find disaster relief information at the top of the website there as well, txlcms.org. Our guest today, Pastor Dan Miller. He serves as interim pastor at Hosanna Lutheran Church in Kerrville, Texas. Thank you so much, Pastor, for being our guest today.
Thank you.
And Julie Tucker, she serves as Emergency Management Director for the Texas District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Julie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate that.
Again, you can find more information at txlcms.org and hosannakerrville.org. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.